Tonight we're going to talk about the Word of God and its meaning and how to get a hold of it. And so if you will, and you have your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, a verse you were studying a few minutes ago. Let's all stand and read the Word together, and what we'll do is you just read out of whatever translation you have, and we'll all speak in different tongues. 2 Timothy 3, chapter 16, and chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Amen. Hallelujah. Be seated, brethren. Let's ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, we do thank you for just the privilege of being here together and the fun we have in Jesus. Lord, tonight as we look at these truths about your holy word, I pray you'd grip our hearts. And God, impress us with the importance of the next step for us in this area. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts together would be acceptable in your sight. And Lord, that you would do a special work tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it and for his glory alone. Amen. Is that a little loud? No. Okay. Just sounds loud to me. Okay. Convictions about God's Word. There's some basic convictions we should have about the Word of God. And as we try to make it a vital part of our life, we need to remember that God's Word is the final authority for all faith and practice in the Christian life. Now, there's church tradition and there's social and cultural mores, but none of these will have precedence over the Word of God. They're all subordinate to the Word of God, and they must be. God's work can be seen in the universe, and his handiwork can be seen in the creation, but he is revealed through his Word, and through his Word alone. So as we look into this verse, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, we see, first of all, that all Scripture is inspired by God. In the literal Greek rendering, and if you're not aware of this, the Bible was written in two languages. In the Old Testament, it was written in Hebrew, the ancient Hebrew, which has been revived by the present nation of Israel. The New Testament was written in Greek. And the meaning of that Greek word where it says inspired is that it was God-breathed. God breathed the word, and he spoke through men who wrote it down, and God inspired his holy word. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. You know, Billy Graham is quoted in the beginning of his ministry as saying, if the Bible says that 2 plus 2 is 5, I will believe by the grace of God that it's 5 until I find out that it's different. Okay? And that's been one of the secrets, I think, of Dr. Graham's ministry, is he's stuck with the Bible. Well, the Bible, the word Bible means library. The Bible is a library. It has 66 books. It was written by over 40 authors over a period of 1,000 years. And it stands as the Word of God. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For the prophecy," talking about the Bible, "came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The Holy Spirit spoke the Word of God through holy men of God. And then this verse says, not only is God's Word inspired, but it's profitable for four things. For teaching, that's to show us the right road to be on. For reproof, and that word means to tell us when we're off the road. For correction, that's to tell us how to get back on the road. And for training in righteousness, to show us how to stay on God's road that we might become righteous people of God. And so that's what the Word of God does for us. Now, not only that, but look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, it equips us for every spiritual work, that the man of God, and I like the RSV here, it says that the man of God may be complete. The NAS says adequate. That's a little weak. Complete is a stronger word, and I think that's what the verse would say to us. That we will be complete, that means mature spiritually, and equipped for every good work. Would you like to be equipped to do the work of God tonight? Would you really like to be equipped to do God's work? Well, you can be. And it all lies in getting a grasp and a grip on this book and being equipped with the Word of God. And that will thoroughly furnish you with all that you need to be a minister of God. It's all found in the Word of God. I used to want to be used by God, and I really did. And I asked God if I could be, and I just plodded along for years and began to get a grasp of the Word of God. And God has given me the privilege of sharing His Word in ways that I could never have imagined. And it's been such a privilege. And it's all tied up in one thing, gang, and that is getting equipped with God's Word. It's not because we're anything special. It's just simply the person who's willing to get equipped with the Word of God will be used of God, because God is short of people who are willing to do that. In fact, Jesus said that the laborers are few. The harvest is plenteous. There's a lot to do out there, but there aren't many laborers. And those laborers must get equipped with this book if they want to do God's work. So if you want to be used by God, get equipped with His Word. The Word of God is living and active. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is living and active. That means it's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And what that means is that when we read the Word of God, it is so sharp that it divides soul and spirit and discerns every intention of our hearts. We may think we're fooling everybody else, but when we read the Word of God, it shines a light right into our hearts and tells us what we're really like and tells us what to do about it. The Word of God is living and active. In fact, it says that it pierces to the dividing of soul and spirit. And one word uses bone marrow. Is that the King James that uses that, John?
That's right.
Yes. Bone in the marrow. It sounds like the Word of God even affects your physical health. And I believe it does. I believe it does. It will affect your physical health. Well, the Word of God brings the new birth. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God is imperishable. It abides forever. You know, sometimes we get so impressed with the beautiful girl with the beautiful voice, the handsome man with the beautiful voice, the works of the flesh. Sometimes we get so impressed in Christian circles with those with personal charisma. Do you know what God's impressed with? He says in Isaiah 66:2, my hand has made everything, and thus it came to be, says the Lord. I will look favorably upon that man who is humble, feels crushed in spirit, and trembles at my word. That's the people God looks favorably upon. Those who are humble, feel crushed in spirit, and tremble at His word. Okay? And so God is attracted to people who are attracted to Him and who are attracted to His word. 1 Peter 1:24 and 25 says, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord abides forever. You know, our old flesh is going to change. Someday we'll get gray hair and wrinkles around the eyes, and our youthful beauty will go away. Same with the grass of the field. It comes up, it sprouts, it's a beautiful green. See it in the fall, it's dead, it's gone. All flesh is like grass. All its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord abides forever. Now, gang, there are two things that will last forever, according to the Bible. One is the souls of people. Your soul will go on forever. In fact, everybody is going to live forever. It's just a matter of what forwarding address you have. The souls of men and the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God abides forever. It lives forever. So getting equipped with the Word in this life is something that you will carry into the next life. In fact, Paul said we'll teach angels. I don't know what that means, but I know we're going to be teaching them the Word, because that's going to go on forever and ever. The Word of God is also food for our souls. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And so like a newborn baby desires milk, we're to desire the word of God so that we might grow. And we grow as we take it into our lives. Now, a lot of people think that because they've heard the overall stories of the Bible and know the overall picture and different things, that they don't need to feed on the word of God. You know, they learned all that in Sunday school all those years. That's a little bit like as if you came into my kitchen and I was laying there on the floor, weak, sick, emaciated, starving to death. And you looked and you said, good grief, man, you're starving to death. And you ran over and you threw open the freezer and there was a half a beef in there. And you threw open the refrigerator and there's all kinds of fresh vegetables and you looked in the pantry and all kinds of canned goods and everything. And you said, my word, you're starving to death. What's wrong? And I say, I don't need to eat. I know everything that's in the pantry. I know everything that's in the freezer. Well, I might know everything that's in there, gang, but that still doesn't feed me, does it? And your knowledge about the Bible does not feed you. You have to feed on it or you're going to get sick and weak and the devil's going to come along and you're going to be too weak to resist. The Word of God is food for our souls and we need to feed on it. Now the Bible also teaches that in the beginning we feed on milk, but later on we must go on to strong meat. Hebrews 5:12-14 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God's Word. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their faculties trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. Now the solid food or the strong meat, I believe, means the deeper truths of the Bible and a better understanding of God. And it's for those who have practiced distinguishing good from evil. That means applying the word that they know and going deeper into the truths of God's Word. You know, there are people who have been Christians for 5, 10, 15, 30 years who are just babes because they've never really fed on the Word of God. I've got a friend who's a famous Baptist layman. He said recently that Baptists are biblically ignorant. I don't know what that says about the Presbyterians or the Catholics or anybody else, but he thought the Baptists were ignorant. And they preach the Bible. Well, sometimes it's because we don't feed, and sometimes it's because of carnality in our lives. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 5, and follow as I read there. Paul wrote the Corinthians. The Corinthians had all the gifts operating in the church, and here's what he said to them. And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of the flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, and are you not mere men? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. Paul says, I couldn't address you as spiritual men. You weren't acting like spiritual men. In fact, although you were converted, you were living like the unconverted. What was the mark of that? Jealousy, strife, factions, bragging about whose group they were in. Does that sound familiar? Do we do that? Climbing the spiritual pecking order, trying to impress others by our spiritual pedigree. Well, there was strife. Galatians 5:19 says that strife is one of the marks of the flesh, the old wicked flesh. That's where strife comes from. When it rises its ugly head, that's where it came from, is the old wicked flesh. So we're to go on from that. We're to put those things away and go on to live on spiritual steak, spiritual meat, not just milk of the word. How do we get to that point? How do we get to that point? Well, in the balance of our time tonight, we're going to talk about the five basic ways that we take the word of God into our lives. And we call that the word hand. There's an illustration that we use, and if you've never seen it, it's just a little illustration that basically shows that there are five ways that we take the Word of God into our lives. So I'm going to mount the podium here and put the slide on. Dan, where are you?
A little bar.
There it is. Everybody see that? We'll just leave that on a little bit. If you want to copy it down, great. If you don't, no problem. If it's distracting to you, why, we'll turn it off in a few minutes. We hear, read, study, memorize, and meditate on the Word of God. Now, the hand is used as an illustration of these five ways because it shows how we can get a grip on the Word of God. We can hold it tightly with the full fingers on our hand. So let's look at each one of these practical ways of taking God's Word into our lives. And the first is hearing, and it's represented by the little finger of the hand. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And this is the primary means of intake for most Christians. We hear it in Sunday school, preaching service, Christian radio and TV, cassette tapes, videotapes. This is how most Christians get their feeding, through hearing the Word of God. What are some things we can do to more effectively feed on the Word of God as we hear it? Well, we can always pray that God will speak to us. In Psalm 25:4-5, it says, "Make me to know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truths and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all the day long." You know, in any situation that we come to where someone's sharing the Word of God, we can get something out of it if we're listening to God. The guy may not be very dynamic, and you may not like his preaching. You may not even like the person. But if you listen to God and you'll open your heart to God, God can speak to you out of that. Secondly, take notes when possible. You know, educators say we retain only about 10% of what we hear. Only about 10% of what we hear. I imagine that if our lives depended on us being able to give the 3 points of the pastor's sermon last Sunday, we'd probably all go on to glory. I know I would. Yeah. Take notes. That'll help you remember what you're hearing. You'll listen more carefully, and you'll remember more as you take it in through the ear gate and the eye gate. You'll find you're getting more food than you thought you were. Here's a few pointers on taking notes. Listen in faith. Mark 4:23 says, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." Listen to Christ with spiritual ears, and listen with a predetermined will to obey. In John 15:10, Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love." Listen with a view of teaching others. 2 Timothy 2:2. "And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." It seems like every time I get together with John Crawford, he's sharing something that he got from someplace. It might have been his quiet time, but many times, just this week, we were together and he was sharing with me some truths that he heard off some tapes by a guy that preached up in Glen Eyrie in January. So when you share those truths that you hear, it helps you capture them for your own lives and your thoughts, and you burn them into your brain. Okay, and some of us need some burning more than others. And then we can hear the Word of God by listening to cassette tapes. A lot of times we can't stop to take notes, but we can hear when we're accomplishing other tasks and use the time. We can be feeding on the Word. You ever notice when you're doing a menial task, your mind wanders off? Sometimes it wanders off to bad things, doesn't it? Sometimes something will flush up. You're doing some ironing, or you're driving the car, and you ever find yourself driving down the road and all of a sudden you're talking to that guy you're mad at, and he's giving you 60 and you're saying it back to him, and all this stuff's coming out. You ever notice that? Now that's what happens sometimes when we're doing some menial task. You know, we can change that by changing the inputs. A lot of times it's just substitution. It's substitution. Instead of letting our mind wander off into that garbage, we can pop a little tape recorder on and we can feed on something worthwhile. I know that the first job I had when I got out of college, I had a 30-minute commute. And I had a deal with the Lord that I wouldn't turn on the radio until I'd reviewed my scripture and listened to a tape. I rarely ever turned on to the radio. But during those 3 years, I saw more growth in my spiritual life than at any time that I can look back and measure it. Okay? Because I fed on the Word of God and spent time doing that. Well, you guys are familiar with cassette recorders. That's no new thing. But if you don't have something that you can use to listen to cassette tapes, I'd encourage you to do that. By the way, there's a tape library. Would you like to hear what John Crawford was preaching back about 1970, late 60s? Would you like to hear some of the early tapes by Dawson Trotman? There's a tape library that has all that old stuff in it. It's called the Foundation Library. You want to take this down? Foundation Library. 435 West Boyd, Norman, Oklahoma, 73069. That library has tapes of people going all the way back to the 50s, Navigator speakers, and many others. You can check those tapes out for a very small fee, and they'll mail you anything in the catalog. They've got over 5,000 tapes. And you can use that to feed on some of the early teachings of the men of God who went before in this organization and founded it and made it what it was. You bet. 435 West Boyd, Norman, Oklahoma, 73069, Foundation Library. I'd encourage you to do that and check some of those out and listen to what John was saying back in 1970. He was tough back then. Well, these are all tremendous helps to keep our minds focused on Jesus. But you know, we can listen to the Word preached from now on, and it won't change us a whole lot. We can sit in Sunday school for 50 years and say, oh, how I wish I knew the Word, like old John Mayen or Jack Hill or John Crawford or Ralph Abercrombie or Dan Williams. But that's not going to get us really to the point of really knowing the Word. It'll feed our souls. It'll help us. It'll encourage us. But we need to get into the Word for ourselves. And so we hear it and then we read it. We read it. In Deuteronomy 17, 19, and 20, talks about the king of Israel. Talking about the king in relation to the Word of God. It says, it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted up above his countrymen, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right or to the left, in order that he and his sons may continue long in the kingdom in the midst of Israel. That's what God said the king of Israel was supposed to do. If that was important for him, I'm sure it's important for us. In reading, we retain a little bit more, about 20 to 25%. But we can increase retention by being regular and systematic and underline, take notes, write things down. If God says something to you, stop, pray over it, write yourself a note. Remember, this is God speaking to you. I'm talking here about devotional reading. It should take place in what we call the quiet time. I think every Christian ought to have some systematic reading program that gets him through the Bible in some certain amount of time. I've got one that I got out of Australia called the Australian Bible Reading Plan. It has two columns in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. If you read the whole thing, you get through the Bible in a year. I wouldn't recommend that you try that if you've never done it. Start small. Start reading just the New Testament. Make an attempt to just read the New Testament through in a year. And then begin to work the Old Testament in. And I know I tried to read that thing for several years before I ever really was successful. One time I was telling Gene War about that. And I said, Gene, he says, you've never read through the Bible in a year? I said, oh, no, I never made it. He says, next year you will. And I did. So, if you know Gene, that was a help to me. It helps to have someone watching over your shoulder. Why is it important to get through the Bible in a given amount of time? The reason is because the Bible is the whole counsel of God. This is God's whole message to man. It's in this book. This is it. And so if you want to expose your life to what God has to say, expose it to the whole counsel of God. And so I try to do that once a year because I want the Lord to be able to say to me anything he's got to say in a year's time. And so it's taken me a while to work up to that, but by the grace of God, I'm able to do that. And it's a help to me. And I open my life up to him. The whole counsel of God. If there's anything in that book he wants to say to me, he can say it in 1990. By the grace of God, I'll be there. So we hear it, and then we read it, and then we study it. You know, in study, you retain about 50%. In Acts 17:11, it says, talking about the Berean church. It's a little place over in the Middle East somewhere. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And so they daily got into the word and searched the scriptures and studied and dissected and tried to figure out, is this really what the truth is? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, talking about the Bible. You know, one of these days you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for your life. And I will too. And the one thing I do not want to hear the Lord say to me is something like this. Why did you spend countless thousands of hours on your education so that you could make money and be successful and spent only a few minutes in my word? I don't want to hear the Lord say that to me. I don't even want to hear him say it to you. But gang, you are spending countless thousands of hours and thousands of dollars on your education. Are you giving the word of God its rightful place in your life? Are you doing your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who will not be ashamed when he stands before the judgment seat of Christ? I plead with you to do that. Give the word of God the right place in your life. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, rightly handling the word of truth. It's so important. What is Bible study? Well, it's different from reading in that it's much more intense and it seeks understanding and application to the life. And good Bible study demands original investigation. You need to do your own study, not just read somebody else's commentary. Written reproduction, you write it down, make some notes. Needs to be consistent, systematic, needs some methods, needs to be pass-onable, and you need to make application to your life. You know, as we approach the Word, there are several things we need. One is a cleansed life. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. And his ear is not dull that cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and his sins have hid his face from you so that he does not hear. We come to the Word of God with sin in our life. The first thing that's going to happen is that the Holy Spirit is going to direct us around to the point where we make that right, where we confess sin and get clean. Then he can speak to us and we can absorb the truths that he's got to say to us. So we need a cleansed life. Another thing we need to do is say a prayer for illumination. Psalm 119, 18 says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know, it is the Holy Spirit who wrote this book. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding about this book. And so as we come to the book, we need to say, Lord, open my eyes that I might understand. You ever stood amazed at some of the things men of God get out of the Word? It's because the Holy Spirit opens it up to them. He's the author, and he's the one that teaches us. A dependence on him as we come to learn, and a willingness to obey. A willingness to obey. And then for me, I personally, if I'm going to do Bible study, and I've been doing it for a long time, but if I'm going to continue to do Bible study, I will have to have accountability. And there's a reason for that. It's because I'm basically slothful. I'm lazy by nature. It's a lot of work. I need deadlines. I need peer pressure from other men. I need a sharpening of others' ideas. And so I come together with a group of men on Saturday morning at 6 a.m. sort of weeds out the half-hearted. And we spend 2 hours together. And one of the things we do is we discuss Bible study that we have done that week. We've prepared a lesson that we've decided upon, and we get together at that early morning hour. And we pray together, we hold one another accountable, and we discuss the word that we've studied. And I can tell you that if it were not for that group, I would not be doing Bible study today. That keeps me going. Well, start small and learn as you go. And if you're not experienced in Bible study, as some of you probably aren't, there are some excellent Navigator question and answer studies that are really the best I know. And these will take you through and teach you the basic doctrines of the Scriptures and teach you how to go through and begin to do chapter analysis on your own. Those are the Studies in Christian Living, the Design for Discipleship, put out by the Navigators. Excellent studies. Good place to start your Bible study. The fourth finger of the hand is memory, or memorizing. Now, this is a trick question. How much do we remember when we memorize? 100%. Good. I'm glad to be with a bunch of intelligent people. Why memorize? Well, the main reason is for our own edification. That means upbuilding. The main reason we need to memorize Scripture is for us. We need it. You see, when we memorize Scripture, we take God's thoughts into our mind. And we begin to think God's thoughts, which are right and pure and just and holy, instead of our thoughts, which are impure, unjust, unholy. The natural man is sinful. And we take the Word of God into our lives through Scripture memory for our own good and our own upbuilding. Psalm 119, 9 and 11, a verse that many of you know, I'm sure, says this: Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Have you figured out that the joy in the Christian life is how little we can sin, not how much we can sin and get away with it? There's a difference, you know. Did you ever live that part of your Christian life where you just wanted to walk, see how close you could get to the line without falling over? The real joy comes in the Christian life when we see how far we can stay away from that line and how close we can get to God's holiness. That's where the real joy is in the Christian life. But as we memorize the Word, it keeps us from sin. And then to share with others. And God gives us opportunity to share with others when we have the Word of God in our heart. People say, I can't memorize. Well, my children started memorizing when they were 3, and they're still memorizing today. They're reviewing their Scriptures, and I'm thankful for that. I wanted them to have God's Word in their heart. They don't understand everything that they know. But you know, God's Word's like a time bomb. It's like a stick of dynamite that's burning. And one day it'll go off. You memorize God's Word, and you may not understand all that you know either. But God will take that Word, and He'll bring it back to your mind. And every verse that we memorize is a rein that the Holy Spirit has on us to turn us or to guide us or to stop us. And I testify to you that God constantly brings to mind Scriptures that I have memorized out of my subconscious mind when I need them with answers. He talks to me all the time through the Bible. He's committed Himself to do that. Ephesians 6:17 says, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. If God wants to speak to you, how is He going to speak to you? He's going to speak through the Word. He's committed Himself to do that. Feelings, some so-called prophecy that somebody got? No. God has chosen to speak through His Word. And if you need to hear from God, you're going to have to get that from the Word, either from somebody who knows the Word and passes it to you, or through opening the book and looking in it, or through God bringing out of your mind that which you already have committed to memory. the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. When the sword of the Spirit wants to cut on you, he'll use the Word. Repetition is the key to effective scripture memory, and that's why we say review, review, review. That's why we carry these little cards around with us and use up spare moments to review. And, you know, one of the tricks of the devil is that he says that scripture memory is for kids. Scripture memory is for kids. So he's got most Christians faked out that they're too mature to memorize. Nothing could be farther from the truth. That's a trick of the devil. So don't listen to that. There are some outstanding scripture memory courses, but there's really only one method that works, and that's this one. Little cards, 2¾ by 1¾. I've seen guys try other things, and it'll last for a while. I had a friend who was a doctor, and he liked 3x5 cards. And he carried them around in his pocket. Pretty soon, this got real fat. And that was his limiting factor. He couldn't carry anymore in his top pocket, so he couldn't memorize anymore. That was that. Other people I know used to take the Bible, and they would duplicate these columns, and then they'd laminate them, and they'd carry them around. They'd have these little things sticking out of their pocket. That was kind of their spiritual heritage. They want to let you know that they had that. This is the guy they got that from. There was a guy that did it. But, you know, I've talked to those guys, and they memorized volumes and volumes and volumes of Scripture, but they couldn't hold on to it. They couldn't keep it in their review system. Well, that's not to say you might not be the exception. But for the average person, these little cards over a long period of your life, and if you will work at Scripture memory for about 20 years, just 2 verses a week, you'll have 2,000 verses of Scripture in your subconscious mind that the Holy Spirit can pick out of any hour of the day or night and use on you. And that is a blessing because he'll talk to you through the Word. Well, if you need help on scripture memory, any one of these navigators can help you. And if you want some pointers from me, I'd be glad to give them to you. There's a lot of specifics, a lot of things that are just passed down word of mouth that you'll never find in the topical memory system about how to get it done in a practical manner. Things like a back review system, these kind of things. We're not going to get into those specifics tonight, but let me just encourage you, if you are not consistently memorizing Scripture and you need help on that, seek that help out, because that will be the greatest blessing of taking in the Word into your life that I know of. The thumb of our hand is the thumb of meditation. You know, Joshua 1:8 is a verse that we use on this, and I'm sure you probably saw this years ago, but not too long ago I was meditating on Joshua 1:8. And here's what it says. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have success. And this verse speaks to us about meditating on the Word of God. We need to think about it. We need to run it over in our minds. Meditation is locked in, thinking deeply. It's attention with intention. It leads to action. It's spiritual digestion. It's rumination, or chewing the cud like a cow. You know, a cow has several stomachs, and a cow chews a cud, you know, and then swallows it. And a little while later, has another little go at it. And that's kind of the way meditation is. You know, that's what you call rumination. For a cow, that's not bad. For you, it wouldn't be so good. But you know, I was just looking at Joshua 1:8. And you know what the emphasis is on that verse? Meditation, yes. But the second part of that is this, that you may be careful to do. To do what you're thinking about. It's not just that we think about the Word. It's that we take action on it. That we do what it says. And then we shall have good success. Obedience. Obedience to Christ is the key from meditation. So we meditate on it, and then we apply it. You know, God never gave us the Word to increase our knowledge. He didn't do that. That's not why we have the Word, to increase our knowledge. God gave us the Word to change our lives so that we would apply it and live it out and be God's people and be a testimony of light to those around us. John 8:31, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples." It's not enough that we have it memorized or that we study it. That's part of it. To continue means to get hold of it, to have it in your life. But it also means to live it out and apply it. And if we don't do that, we stop short. I've got three questions I like to ask myself when I'm trying to find application. These three always find an application in my life. Here they are. What impressed me most about this verse or this passage or about this topic? What impressed me most about this? Normally, there will always be something that has impressed you about what you've studied. Secondly, where do I fall short? Where do I fall short? And third, what by the grace of God will I do about it this week? What by the grace of God will I do about it this week? And then I asked the Lord, "Lord, help me. Help me to know what you're saying to me and help me to apply it to my lives, to my life." Well, what are the results of having the Word in our lives? Well, it begins to spill out. It begins to overflow. It's like when you fill your life with the Word of God, it begins to slosh out on people, and we've got something to share. And it changes our ability to witness and to share with others the good news of Christ. We're to always be ready. According to 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "But sanctify or set apart the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." And so when we have the Word of God in our lives and we've got the answers to the questions that people are asking, we can share it with them. I try to always stay loaded. I carry one of these little things around right here. I'm always ready to share the gospel. I was talking to one of the fellows last night, telling him a little story a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about witnessing on the job. One of the things I do is I try to tell the Lord, "Lord, I want to be available to you this week. And I'm asking you to just give me an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody." And so I was headed over to the shopping center and I told the Lord that. And I was kind of thirsty, so I stopped in the convenience store. And the convenience store is owned by an Arab fellow named Farouk. And so Farouk had some problems, and he began to tell me about his problems, and we talked about those problems for a while. And then the conversation turned a little bit, and I really did not have in mind to share anything with Farouk. In fact, that was the farthest thing from my mind. Farouk and I have been having some difficulties over a business deal. And I was sitting there, and suddenly it seemed to me that the Holy Spirit spoke, and he said, "This is the opportunity you've been asking me about." And Farouk had just gotten through telling me how the people of Jordan were going to get back the West Bank of Israel, and didn't understand why the American Christians were so set on Israel staying in the land and so on and so forth. And so I asked him a question. I said, "Farouk, let me ask you this. I said, if you died tonight and found yourself standing before God, and he said, 'Why should I let you into my heaven?' what would you say?" He said, look, "I drive a hard deal. But after I've made my deal, I try to be straight after that." I said, "Well, Farouk, that's great. But," I said, "that won't get you into heaven." He said, "My kids are wonderful." He says, "They're outstanding, and they make good grades, and they've never been in any trouble." I said, "Well, Farouk, that's wonderful. I commend you for that, but that won't get you into heaven." He looked kind of puzzled. I said, "Would you like to know the answer?" He said, "Yeah, I really would." So I shared with him the answer. In a few minutes, we reached a little place there where I pointed out to him the cross of Christ, man on one side and God on the other, and explained to him how Christ was a bridge between us. I said, "Where are you in this picture?" He says, Well, I'm not on man's side, I'm not on God's side. I said, well, you're on the way. Wouldn't you like to be there? He said, well, yeah, I would. So I read this little prayer, and I said, does this prayer express the desire of your heart, Farouk? He says, very much so. I said, would you like to pray right now? He said, yes. So we bowed our heads, and I said, dear Lord Jesus. He didn't say anything. I looked up. I said, Farouk, you going to pray? He says, I'm going to pray. Just go ahead. I said, okay. So I went ahead and prayed. In a few minutes, I began hearing him. He's mumbling along, you know. And we got through, and I said, well, Farouk, did you pray that sincerely from your heart? He said, yeah. I said, did you mean it? He said, listen, man. He says, I don't say anything like that. I don't mean. I said, okay, Farouk. I'm sorry I said that. Well, it's very simple. I mean, it's just a little deal here, but it's the Word of God. And God prepares men's hearts, and we're just the instruments. We're just the channels of His love. But if we're not ready, we miss those opportunities, gang. If we don't have the Word and we're not ready to share it, we won't be ready when it comes. Well, the Word of God will bring character growth, victory over temptation, many other blessings. I wish tonight I could somehow sprinkle some kind of magic dust on you and have you fully and completely equipped with the Word of God, but I can't do that for you. All I can do is give you my testimony and point down the way and say, this will bless your life. Please do it. Please fill your life with the Word of God. Please give yourself to getting equipped with the Word. Please memorize Scripture for your own upbuilding. Please work on applying it to your life for the glory of Christ. Because it'll bless you just like it has me. Let's bow for prayer. Father, tonight we thank you so much for giving us the Holy Bible. Lord, there never has been a generation in history that had more access to the Bible, the Word of God, the written Word, who's had more access to helps to understand the Bible, more translations to make it clear, more opportunities to learn. And Lord, it's not any accident that you have given us these blessings. I believe you expect us to use them. And Lord, how I pray for these dear brothers and sisters here, that this would not fall on their ears and just be one more thing they've heard. But God, even right now, in this moment now, that you would speak to our hearts about the next step each of us needs to take. Speak to me, Lord, and speak to us and reveal to us that which you want us to do, that we might do it and obey you and be effective threshing instruments for the kingdom of Christ. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.